More than 300 million people travel every year for religious purposes. Many are making pilgrimages to holy cities and sacred sites. But when so many people travel, they can endanger the very places they love. Authorities of some pilgrimage destinations want to reduce the pollution and environmental damage caused by so many people. They're joining what's called the Green Pilgrimage Movement. That includes the Indian holy city of Amritsar, where we found NPR's Corey Flintoff.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning, and the courtyard of the Golden Temple is already pulsing with life. Thousands of Sikh pilgrims pray and sing as they wait for the daily ritual in which the holy book, the Guru Granth Sahib, is carried to the sanctuary. The gold-sheathed temple is strung with lights, so it gleams like a jewel box in the midst of a mirror-like pond. The book, covered in rich cloth, is placed in a litter under a golden canopy and carried across a causeway, followed by devotees. Most of the men wear the carefully wrapped turbans and the uncut beards that are the most familiar marks of their religion. Sikhs from all over India and the world stay in touch with their faith by visiting this and other holy sites as often as they can.
Everyone has to be here like once a year, twice a year. Like people come from all over the world, wherever we have Sikh communities, they come back to India, and the one place that they surely will go to is the Golden Temple.
This is Ravneet Pal Singh, who works for the environmental group EcoSikh. He says the city of Amritsar gets around 100,000 visitors a day, pilgrims and tourists, and three times that many on holidays.
They come here, drink a lot of water, and use public transport and all those facilities that you have to use while you're in a travel to such a place. So we can change many things and reduce carbon footprint a lot.
Singh is particularly fired up because he's just returned from a meeting of other representatives of the Green Pilgrim Cities Network in Assisi, Italy. He was part of a small delegation of city and temple officials who pledged to try to incorporate environmentally friendly practices in Amritsar. Singh says the ideas for Amritsar include solar panels for the lighting system that keeps the temple gleaming throughout the night. Other plans revolve around a core tenet of the Sikh religion, that believers provide food for anyone who wants it. At the Golden Temple's communal kitchen, volunteers prepare and serve around 85,000 meals each day. Singh is proud that the meals are served on stainless steel plates and bowls, so there's no plastic waste. But he says the temple wants to extend green practices to the cooking and cleaning. He says the temple wants to install solar water heaters for this area, where steel dishes clash like cymbals as hundreds of volunteers wash up. Temple authorities also want to make better use of the water.
All the temples here, whether they are Hindu temples or Sikh temples or Muslim mosque or church, they should have rainwater harvesting, and as far as possible, they should have solar panels.
Singh says the organizers hope to educate pilgrims by reminding them of the earth-friendly messages that are already part of Sikh theology.
The air is our master, water is our father, and this earth is our great-great mother. So this is direct relation that the masters, Sikh masters, have given to us, and we should now reflect the way they taught us.
Singh says the Green Pilgrim Cities Network estimates that around 40% of the world's people make religious pilgrimages at some time in their lives. Singh says that's a lot of people who are potentially ripe for earth-friendly messages. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, New Delhi.
This weekend marks a big change for people around the world who are Catholic and who celebrate Mass in English. The words and music of the English Mass are now different thanks to the first major change to the texts in 40 years. As NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports, the new, more formal liturgy is already causing a stir.
It was an unusual homily, but these are unusual times for the Catholic Church.
Let's practice it. The Lord be with you.
On a recent Sunday, Father Chester Snyder and the parishioners at St. Joseph's Church in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, did a trial run through the new Mass.
You're pretty good at this.
As of this weekend, the liturgy has a new vocabulary, not an overhaul, but enough to trip people up, especially those who have the old one memorized.
I believe in one God.
For example, in the Nicene Creed, the old version said Jesus is one in being with the Father. The new version says Jesus is consubstantial with the Father. In the old Mass, people confessed they sinned through my own fault. Now people say they have greatly sinned through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault, as they strike their chests. Father Snyder was shocked at the changes at first, but then he considered what the Mass celebrates, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross.
And that's not everyday stuff.
He says it's a profound mystery.
So when we enter into the realm of mystery, we try to have a language that is a little bit different than what we use in the marketplace or at the football stadium or even in our everyday conversation.
Which is precisely what the Vatican is trying to achieve. When the Latin Mass was translated into English 40 years ago, it was done relatively quickly, and everyone knew it would be revised. The new translation is closer to the Latin in both words and sentence structure. Of course there's a learning curve, member Janet Beveridge says, but it's nothing compared to the shift from Latin to English. And she likes mixing it up.
It's good because it makes you be on your feet and pay attention to what you're doing and not take it for granted. And I never want to take my faith for granted.
But Monica Malpezzi thinks the new language is stilted and confusing. It will only create a barrier between people and God.
If we have to scramble for understanding in what our prayer life is, I think that it'll make it harder for us to feel that God is right there with us.
Malpezzi echoes the sentiment of many priests across the country. They say if the new people's prayers are awkward, the priests are sometimes unintelligible. Bishop Donald Troutman, who used to chair the Bishop's Committee for the Liturgy, says priests now have to recite some sentences that are 90 words long. And he says sometimes the new translation is not faithful to the Bible. For example, it has Jesus, a poor carpenter, sipping from a precious chalice during the Last Supper.
It's a drinking cup. It's a vessel. It's not a chalice.
Troutman says even Indiana Jones got that one right.
That's the cup of a carpenter.
He selected a wooden cup as the Holy Grail.
You have chosen wisely.
But Bishop Troutman's concerns go beyond vocabulary to theology. He cites where the new translation says Jesus died, quote, for you and for many.
In preaching, we will hear that Jesus died for all people. But at the altar, we will hear it, Jesus died for many. For whom did he not die?
Father Michael Ryan has similar reservations.
It seems that the Latin's more important than the theology. That's a pity.
Ryan is pastor of St. James Cathedral in Seattle. He sees this as a power play by conservatives in the Vatican trying to rein in the English-speaking world. He says Vatican II wanted the liturgy to exhibit, quote, noble simplicity.
This is anything but that. No, it's a total move away from the teaching of the Second Vatican Council.
There's a kind of paranoia about all of this.
Jeffrey Tucker is managing editor of the magazine Sacred Music.
Oh, look, we don't want to go back to the pre-Vatican II days with, you know, nuns that hit us with rulers and where the priest is, you know, fussing at us for our sins all the time or whatever. All we're really saying here is that we want church to feel and sound like church.
Tucker says the new words and music are an overdue adjustment from a liturgy that he calls too chatty. Monsignor Rick Hilgartner agrees. He's overseeing the change in liturgy for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. And he asks, just how accessible does a liturgy have to be?
People might say, well, what about children? Well, so do we then say that the whole liturgy has to be at a third grade reading level? How long would that sustain adults in the faith?
Hilgartner says the new words simply reflect the maturing of the American faith, and he asks people to be patient.
And I would hope people wouldn't Monday morning quarterback this on November 28th. And I think we all need to give each other some time to learn our parts so that we cannot just be focused on words, but ultimately get to a point that the words can start to speak to our hearts.
Glory to God in the highest.
The regulars at St. Joseph's are already committing the new words, music, and rhythms to heart. But this weekend may be disorienting for the millions of Catholics who reserve their worship for the holiday season, which begins, yes, this weekend. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
This weekend is the beginning of Advent, a high season for the Catholic Church. Catholics celebrating Mass today may be surprised to find some new changes to their liturgy. After four decades, the English language Mass has changed. The Catholic Church spent over a year preparing its priests, deacons, and parishioners for the major script changes. Father Carmen D'Amico has been serving the parishes of Pittsburgh for over 20 years, and I caught up with him at his church, Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, right after he performed his first Mass this weekend with the new translation. Father Carmen, welcome.
Thank you, Rachel. Good to be here.
So you've just completed your first Mass with all these changes. How'd it go?
It went pretty well. I mean, I screwed up a couple of times during the liturgy. You know, just the old words, they just stay with you. But all in all, it went pretty well. I was amazed at the congregation, you know, how quickly they adapted.
So you said that you made a few stumbles. What did you stumble over?
You know, usually when the priest says, "The Lord be with you," now the people are saying, "And with your spirit," while the deacon was proclaiming the gospel.
The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.
He said, "The Lord be with you," and I said in response, "And also with you."
Oh, you're not supposed to say that anymore.
Yeah, so I thought, oops. But I got it the next time. He said it at the end when we were doing the blessing, and I got it right.
Okay. And as you were going through this, I mean, obviously there were those stumbles. Were there any other surprises for you?
No, not really. I had to keep my eyes focused on the text, which is really a change for me, because I'm usually looking at the congregation. You know, the words of the liturgy are part of me, and so I can really pray them and interact with the congregation, where I was pretty now much tied to the text, and that was a little uncomfortable, you know, because my eyes were down at the book and I'm trying to do all the other things at the same time. But I guess, you know, in time I'll get used to it.
But interesting, because the liturgy is such a part of you, you can pay more attention and connect with your congregation. So you're not quite there yet with these changes then.
No, and I would suspect it's going to take a while, you know, probably several months of, you know, repetition. They say repetition is the mother of all learning, and I'm sure that'll be the case with me.
Were there any particular reactions from your parishioners when the service was over and people, you know, were doing their ritual chatting? What was the scuttlebutt?
I think they were kind of happy. There was a bit of an enthusiasm. It was something new. You know, I think that they were happy that we got through it. We did pretty well. So it was generally really positive. They were telling me, "Oh, you did a good job." I said, "Even when I screwed up," they said, "Yeah, you did a good job." You know, so it was all pretty positive.
Is there something to the idea, Father, that because you've been saying it the same way for so many years, that maybe it's a good thing to have to refocus on the words themselves and what they mean, to pay more attention, be more vigilant in the reading?
You know what, Rachel? It really has been, I think for me, a renewal, you know, just to look at the liturgy anew again, look at the context of the prayers that are there, understanding them, and even teaching the congregation about it. It's been a real blessing for me, you know, and I think it's good, actually. You know, I think that the change is good.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your reflections after giving this new Mass. We appreciate it.
Thank you for asking, Rachel.
That's Father Carmen D'Amico of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal Church in Meadowlands, Pennsylvania. Father Carmen, thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you.